blessed, good. All right. So I have a confession. Ooh. My confession is this service today has been one of the hardest ones for me to prepare for. And normally when I come here, I know exactly what God wants me to do and exactly what God wants me to say. But this particular service has been a bit of a struggle. And I was like, God, why? I mean, I know exactly what I'm supposed to preach on, so I'm preaching on the Lord's Prayer in a minute. But the whole preparation for this has been a bit of a struggle. And I was asking the Lord, why? And I think it's because God wants to do something different. Say different. Right? So we know what God does when I speak. We know how God moves with us. But I think God wants to do something different, something unique today. And but for it to happen the way God wants it to happen, you have to participate. You can't just be an observer of what's going to happen. I'm going to invite you to engage in a minute. And when I invite you to engage, I want you to engage. Because if you engage, then God will engage. And then this will be a very different experience. Amen. So to kind of kick off, let me go to a passage of scripture that's not going to show up because the guys don't know I'm doing this. This all came during worship. Matthew chapter 14, if you have your Bibles or if you can get it up on the screen, that would be great. Matthew chapter 14, verse 35. And when the men of that place recognized him, I'm reading from the Amplified, when they recognized him, they sent around into all the surrounding country and brought to him all who were sick. And they begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were perfectly restored. There are two things I want you to see in this passage of scripture, and I want you to see it now because in a moment we're going to watch a video, and after we watch a video, we're going to pray. And then I will start my preach. Don't worry, I will not go over time, I hope. but here's the thing. Look at your Bibles if you've got it again or if you can get it on the screen. Matthew chapter 14, verse 35. The Bible says, when the men of that place recognized him. And I ask you a question, do you recognize Jesus? Do you recognize Jesus? Or do you recognize your problem? Do you recognize your challenge more than you recognize Jesus? And this morning, I believe totally, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God wants to deal with long-standing issues. Things that when you look at them, they look impossible. They cannot change because they are the way they are because that's the way they have been. But this morning, I ask you a question. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say to me, you know what? I have a long-standing issue that hasn't been resolved. Let me see your hand. All right? So there are a few of us. And this morning, I don't know whether you have come to the house of God with an expectation that you will walk out these doors with that issue resolved. Or maybe you just came to church because we've just come to church. Are you listening to me this morning? There is a danger, and I am also in danger of that danger, that we come to church, we hear the preach, and we go home exactly the same. Nothing changes. But this morning, I want to raise your expectation to the God whom we serve. Look at what the Bible says in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 35. So when the people of that place recognized him, I wonder this morning, do you recognize Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega, the one who provides, the one who supplies, the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, Lion of the tribe of Judah? Do you this morning, have you come this morning to encounter this Jesus? Or have you just come to South Street Baptist Church? Come the same, go the same. This morning, the Bible says when they recognized him, what did they do? They went out to the country and they called for sick people to come. If you're a guest here, you're welcome. I'm just kind of talking to the house at the moment, and I believe God is talking to you. That's why you're here this morning. See, when you recognize what God can do, when you know, I've told you the story of the cash machine before. Like when you know that you have the cash machine, you have the cash card, you have the PIN number, you can receive from God. These guys recognized that Jesus Christ was the answer, and so they went and called the sick, and they said, "Jesus, don't do too much praying. Don't lay hands on anybody. No. There's no need. That's too much. Just let them touch the fringe of your garment. They'll be fine." The Bible says they were healed. Why? There was an expectation. Right? There's an expectation. You know, prayer is the most wonderful act in spiritual realm, as well as being the most mysterious affair that we can ever engage with. The power of prayer lies not in how much we pray, but in how much our prayers are in accordance with the principles of prayer. Prayer is not to be omitted. It is not to be rushed. It is not to be muddled. We are to approach God in prayer, not only soberly, but also with a sound mind, knowing fully well that the God we approach is the God who answers prayer. It is not a babbling time. It's not like like some of our young people, you know, they're on the phone and you think they're just talking to themselves because nobody's responding. Prayer is two-way communication. We pour out our hearts to God and then we wait on Him to listen to what He has to say. And this morning, more than just talk about the Lord's Prayer, I want us to encounter God in prayer. Prayer is so simple, yet it could be very difficult. It becomes difficult and probably boring when we do not know how to pray. And in a moment, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner. Not that this is the prayer you should always pray, but it was a pattern of prayer for us to follow that we might encounter God. So again, there are people in this room, and maybe that's why I'm here today, that have situations that need a breakthrough. And so what we're going to do in a minute, before I get into my preach, is that we are going to watch a video. And it's only during the worship that God kind of tuned my ears to exactly what we were supposed to do this morning. We're going to watch a video. When the word is of the video, and you know, guys, I like bringing videos to you, right? So the word of the video says, "I have seen Him do it. I have seen God do it. And if He can do it, then what? He can do it again." And what we're going to do is watch this video. I'm sacrificing some of my preaching time for us to watch this. But I think it's important, right? So that when we stir up faith, and once the video finishes, we won't watch it all to the end. But once the video finishes, I want you, if you're in a situation that you know you need a breakthrough, I'm going to ask you to stand where you are and pray fervently. Just pray believing. The guy who's leading the worship is going to say some things. He's going to declare some truth. And as he's declaring it, lay hold of it. Some of you don't have to wait for the video to finish before you start praying. Just get into prayer the moment the Spirit stirs you. So Father, I ask, would you come in our midst right now and stir our hearts to pray? God, we are asking you that we don't just talk about prayer, but that we will pray this morning. And not only pray, but pray believing for breakthrough. That situations today are going to be changed because we prayed. That even in the coming day, in the next 24 hours, Lord, I pray for 24-hour breakthrough. I pray for a week's breakthrough. I pray for a month's breakthrough. I pray that we would see the supernatural hand of God and that your people will leave here knowing fully well that they encountered you in prayer. In the name of Jesus. Are we ready? Right? Remember I said you got to interact with this. You got to get with this and stare your face. And if this is all we do today, I think my job would have been well done, right? So let's watch it. It's a bit American, but I'm sure you can get the words. I'll probably talk over it a little bit.
For someone facing incredible obstacles in your life, I want you to lean on God and trust His flawless record. He never fails. He can do the impossible. How do I know? I've seen Him do it.
No doubt my God can do, yes. The impossible.
I know he can. I've seen him do it. He can turn the mess you're in. He can turn it into an awesome miracle.
I know he can.
I've seen him do it. Whatever problem you've got. Just let it go.
Just give it to God.
He'll work it out. How do I know what God can do? I've seen him do it. I've lived long enough to see God do phenomenal things. So I wrote this verse to encourage you. When your back is against the wall, just know that God will come through for you. Listen.
When your life has gone astray, He'll preserve and cover you with His grace.
That's how God works.
I've seen Him do it.
Then He'll erase your past.
He'll erase your past.
If you repent.
So people can
Begin to pray.
And He's going to do it again.
Yeah.
Come on, wave your hands and sing, I've seen Him do it. I know you have your own testimony. I've seen Him do it. Come on, Denise, testify. Say yes.
table.
He put food on my table. I might not always be able to eat a steak, but he's always provided something for me, and I'm grateful.
Begin to pray. Just pray. Pray where you are. Whatever that situation is, just pray. Pray, God. We've seen you do it. You've done it before. You can do it again. Whether it's cancer, whether it's sickness, whether it's a job, whether it's an unsaved husband or an unsaved wife, whether it's an unsaved child, whether it's a prodigal child that's gone far away from God. This morning, God, we come to you. We say, God, you can do it. You can provide jobs. You can provide money. You can pay off debts. You can pay off credit cards. God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or imagine. And right now, we spend time, God, focusing on you, praying to you, asking you, God, to divinely intervene in our situation right now, in the name of Jesus. Keep praying. Just pray through it. Just pray through it a little bit more. Just pray through it a little bit more. It's a heart thing. It's not to do with the words you speak. It's a heart thing. God sees you, and he sees those impossible situations, and he says, with God, nothing is impossible if we believe in him. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 And like I said before, prayer is a two-way thing. One, we pour out our hearts to God, and then we just wait on him and hear what he wants to say. So we're just going to spend a few moments now. Just still your heart. Let God speak to you. Where you are, let God speak to you. God speak to you. Spirit of God, speak to your people. Help us see you. Help us see you in our circumstances. Help us see you in our situation. Help us see your breakthrough. Help us see you breaking through on our behalf. Help us see you do the impossible. Why the songwriter wrote, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Speak, Lord. We, your children, are listening. Amen. Just while we're in prayer, just stay there. If your eyes are closed, just keep them closed for a moment. There's a lady here. I don't know whether it's a back pain or a shoulder pain, but across your shoulders, you're in so much pain, or you have been in so much pain. I believe God wants to heal you. If that's you, just raise your hand. Shoulder pain. I'm not sure if it's the left or right. Yeah. A few people raising their hands. Just lift your hands. Fine. Just keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, even right now, in this moment, as we pray, bring healing and wholeness to these shoulders. In the name of Jesus. God, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Father, I pray right now, let that shoulder pain begin to lift right now because you're a God who answers prayer. That's it. And I'm just asking you, while I'm praying now, just begin to do what you couldn't do with that shoulder. Just begin to move it a little bit just to see whether that pain is lifted. Just begin to move it a little bit. Just move your back, move whatever it is. Just move it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we command your healing. The Bible says you sent your word and it healed them of all their diseases. So now, God, bring healing and wholeness. Right now, in Jesus' name, we pray. That's it. Just lift your hands. If you couldn't lift your hands before, lift them. If you couldn't, yeah, that's it. Just move it around. Let's make sure that God is doing it. Yeah, amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We speak to the pain right now. Go. Gone. It's gone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may put your hands down. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're in your presence, God. In your presence, God. In your presence, God. In your presence. I'm just going to pray one more thing before we move on. And there's some people in this room today, you're in a very difficult work situation. I don't know whether it's your boss that doesn't like you or it's just a situation where it's very, very difficult. And actually, you dread going into work tomorrow. And I believe God wants to bring divine breakthrough to that. He just asked me to specifically call that out. And if that's you, just raise your hand. I'm not going to make this a long-winded thing. It's you, just that's it. One. I think there's more than one. That's another hand. Yeah, that's another hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, as your children have signified by raising their hands, acknowledging that they need a breakthrough in a work situation, you're the God of turnaround. Oh, God, bring a turnaround right now. Bring a turnaround to their circumstances. Bring a turnaround to their situation. The Bible says you turn the house of kings, God. I pray, whether it's a boss or it's a colleague, whatever they might be, Father, right now I pour favor on your children that when they go into the office tomorrow, they would see a different thing. Lord God, they will see a different circumstance. That, Lord God, no matter what the devil tries to do to confuse them, they will not be confused. They would know that you are the one that goes before them and makes a way for them. Waymaker, miracle worker, we call upon you this morning to ask you to divinely intervene in these situations in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hands down. And I think I got one more. I'm just going to go with it because I just feel the Spirit is leading in this particular direction. I don't have to say if there is, I know there is, but I want to be specific about it. That if there's somebody here this morning, and you know this month, right? You know this month of June is coming to an end, but you know this month that if God doesn't break through on your behalf, you're not going to make all your financial commitments for the end of this month. And you really want God to break through. You don't know how he's going to do it. And I'm just going to ask for a supernatural breakthrough to happen on your behalf. This is like next week. Like it has to happen by Friday. This breakthrough has to happen by Friday. And God's going to do it supernaturally. It might be through a repayment or somebody just blessing you. If that's you, just raise your hand. You're going to do it. You better do it high so I can see it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, were you putting your hand up at the back there? Yeah, put it up. Let's put it up. You're not putting your hand up for me. You're putting it up to God. So, Father God, we ask. You are the God of the breakthrough. God, we've already heard it. We've seen you do it, and we know you can do it again. And so, Father, every hand lifted right now, every hand lifted right now, we ask God for supernatural intervention this week. Whether it be you're going to bring an angel to bring food to them, or whether you're going to cause a bill to be repaid or a refund to happen, God, we ask this week, God, for supernatural breakthrough financially upon your children in the name of Jesus. Amen. Whoa. The song said, I've seen him do it. Yes. Kurt's mother was diagnosed with cancer and went for an operation. They told her to have chemotherapy. She refused to take chemotherapy. And what happened? 7 years later, cancer-free. Hallelujah. Amen. I think sometimes we just need to hear truth, and truth kind of lifts us, and we have faith in God. Amen. Well, let's open our eyes again. And then somebody who's on the time, tell me how much time I've got left. How much time do I have left right now? I got 15 minutes. Oh, we can do this in 15 minutes. Okay, good. Okay, so this is easy because we got two parts to this. I'm going to do part one here, and you're going to do part two when you get home. Amen. All right, so I wrote a book a long time ago. It's called The Lord's Prayer, Understand the Lord's Prayer. How many of you got this book already? A few people have. For those that don't have, at the end of my preach, the ushers are going to give you one, and you're going to go home and you're going to read this. That's part two of the homework. You're going to do your homework. The book is written in such a simple way that you can write your notes in it. And so, you're going to get one of these as a gift today, because I believe God really wants us to understand the Lord's Prayer, because understanding the Lord's Prayer is what's going to change our prayer life. Now, the Lord's Prayer is not something that we pray as just a pattern. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's get the first scripture up. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Let me start to read for you. And he says this: "But when ye pray," this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "Use not vain repetition as the heathen do." Heathen being the people who do not believe in God. "For they think that they shall be heard for the much speaking." I could ask the question, is there any heathen in the room? But I don't mean that insultingly. I mean it more, do we think that God is going to hear us because of the much speaking that we make? I don't think so. Now, he would, because he's merciful, but he doesn't hear you on the amount of words you use. He hears you on the amount of heart you bring. Blind Bartimaeus, what did he say? "Thou, son of David, have mercy on me." And I guarantee you, try it. Let me give you homework. Try it. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you get out of bed, however you do it, whatever you do for your devotion, just wake up and say, "God, today, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And see how it changes your life. If you do that 7 days, every morning, it's a very simple prayer. You know, because people think prayer is complicated. No, prayer is that simple. Just wake up every morning. Say, "My name is Shalosh Shinoiki God. Thou, son of David, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me today." Very simple, not complicated. And God will answer, because that's who he is. Verse 7 says, "They think that God will hear them for the much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what ye think you need of him before you ask him." Even before you prayed about the breakthroughs that you need this morning, God already knew. And so he prepared a vessel to kind of pray for that. Do you understand? Do you see that? God knows what you need. And so therefore, he brings things along your way to meet your need. You know, there is no surprise to God. You cannot start any prayer that is a surprise to God. He already knows what you need. He knows how you need it. And he has already provided a way for it. So the Bible says there in verse 8, "Be ye not therefore like unto them," and I'm reading from the King James for a particular reason, I'll tell you in a second, "for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of." He knows what you need. And that is the hope that I want you to come away with this morning, that God knows you need a job. God knows you need salvation for your husband. God knows that you need healing. God knows that you need a breakthrough. He knows it already. It's not news to him. All he wants you to do is align your faith with his faith. And what happens? Something happens. What is a miracle? It is heaven divinely interfering with the affairs of earth. Heaven divinely interfering with the affairs of the earth. Without a miracle, I probably would still be a security guard on £2.50 an hour in Manchester without a miraculous intervention of God. But that's what I was. But I did not define myself by what I was doing. I defined myself by who God had called me to be. It's not my CV anymore. It doesn't need to be, but it is still part of my history. And so wherever God takes me, I remember from where he was bringing me. So we are not heard because we have many babbling words. We are heard because we open our hearts to God and say, "God, without you, I cannot do this. But I know you've done it. We've seen you do it. You've walked on water. You've raised the dead. You've healed the sick. This morning he's already healed. For me, how is your shoulder? How is it doing? Yeah? Yeah? Amen. Amen. He's already done it. What about mommy there? Yeah? Whoa, she couldn't do that before. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right? We've seen him do it. We know he can do it. They came in here this morning in pain. How are you doing, Irene? Yes, good. Amen. Now, God did that. That's not me. I didn't do that. God did that. Now, if God could do that, what are you going through that God cannot do? See, the problem isn't whether God can or he can't. The problem is, which God do you see? Do you see the God who delivers? Or do you see the God who punishes? Do you see the God who loves? Or do you see the God who hates? Do you see the God who's out of control? Or do you see the God who is in control? And so the Bible says here, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. And you know what? Just that first part there, I can preach on that for hours. Our Father. He didn't say my Father. He didn't say the Father. He said our Father. And in one statement, for the first time in the Gospels, Jesus brings us in to the family of God. Our Father. Not just his Father. We know he's the Son of God. He is Jesus. The Bible tells us he's the Son of God. But he says, you and I, we are now members of the family of God, and he is our Father. I don't know how you woke up this morning, but did you wake up knowing fully well that the God of the universe is your Father? Or did you wake up like me, thinking like my father is in Nigeria, living in Lagos? We, by this simple prayer, we have become the children of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does hallowed mean? Hallowed means to honor, to reverence, to worship, to adore, to respect the name of God. Because the Bible says there is no name under heaven by which man can be saved except the name of Jesus. And the Bible says one day, whether we like it or not, including the devils and those who do evil, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I don't need to pray that. That's a fact. It will happen that every knee will bow to Jesus. It's a fact. It's going to happen. And he says, thy kingdom come. And you know, if you listen to the news too much, you would think God's kingdom ain't coming. But I tell you, it is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here's how you start that. You start by believing this. In heaven, only God's will is done. There is no second will. There is no third will. There is no fourth will. There is no my will. There is no your will. In heaven, God's will is done. And then Jesus teaching us how to pray, he says, pray in this manner. Pray in this way. Pray this. Father, thy kingdom come to Greenwich. Amen. Thy kingdom come to my house. Amen. Thy kingdom come to my kids' school. Amen. Thy kingdom come to my street. Amen. Thy kingdom come to my bus that I'm entering. Sorry. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as it is in heaven. Then he says this. Give us. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. Give us this day. Our daily bread. God knows what you need today. And he makes provision for today. But what about my pension?
God makes provision for today. And as long as I choose to live for God today, every day it is today, God will provide for me. Now, you might say, oh, are you saying I shouldn't have a pension? I'm not saying that. Listen to what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in today, God gives you wisdom for tomorrow. You remember that scripture that says, which of you by being worried can add one cubit to your span of life? Look at the birds of the air. They neither toil nor reap nor gather into barn. Yet, your heavenly Father does what? Feeds them. You see, the problem with us human beings, and I'm one of them, is that we are not satisfied with God's feeding. We are not satisfied with being hand to mouth with God's feeding. We're saying, God, you know, if you're going to take me on that journey, I need £1,000 in my back pocket. I am not walking by faith on this one. No way. If you want to take me there, then you better take me there in full. I mean, how many of us would get on a plane and say, well, God just said I should go, so I went. God said to Abraham, said, pack up everything and go. Where do I go? Just go. And the problem is that we've become too sophisticated. The iPhone has made us too sophisticated. We want to know where we're going. We want to GPS it even before we get there. But God says, I don't need you to know where you're going. I just want you to go where I'm telling you to go. And are you going to be willing enough to rely on God, or are you so reliant on your sat-nav? Here's a challenge to you. Would you really ditch the sat-nav for the God-nav? Would you, in your life, ditch the sat-nav for the God-nav? There's nothing wrong in technology. I do that, and that's how I make a living, by selling technology. But what I'm telling us today is that we need to get to this place where we really understand that passage. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, our sins, our trespasses, as we choose. There's a choice here. Choose to forgive others. I preached this before about choosing to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. You have to decide to forgive. Well, they haven't apologized. It doesn't say, after they've apologized, forgive. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What's the next verse? 13. And lead us not into temptation. And people get so confused about this. And I say, if you're not greater than Jesus, this passage applies to you. Because Jesus was led into temptation. And I said, what is this verse actually saying? It says, lead us not into temptation. You have to join the two parts together, but deliver us from evil. It's a combined truth. God, do not let my disobedience, do not let my misunderstanding, do not let my flesh take me down the wrong path. You know, you understand this passage more when you link it back to 1 Corinthians, where it says, no temptation has come your way wherein which God has not created a way of escape. Every building that's built correctly. I don't mean this to be punchful. I'm not saying this now to be punchful. As I said it, I was like, the Holy Spirit just kind of cautioned me, just to caution you that I'm not saying this because of what happened in Grenfell. But what I'm saying is, where there is a fire, there must always be an escape. There must always be an escape. That escape is blocked, and somebody deliberately blocked that escape. So no temptation. So he says, lead us not into temptation. What he's saying is, don't leave us in the place of temptation, but deliver us from evil. Go way beyond temptation and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Imagine every morning you wake up, God, for you are the kingdom, you are the power, you are the glory. And then you say, well, there's no petrol in my car. He doesn't change it. He's still the kingdom. He's still the glory. He's still the deliverer. He's still got all the power. I might not have petrol in my car, but I know my God, my Redeemer lives. Amen. Amen. And we need to get to that position where we are faced with difficulty and we don't say God has changed, because God ain't changed. What's changed is your circumstance. Amen. So we need to get to that place where we truly believe, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever and ever. And if we forgive men their trespasses, then I tell you this, God will forgive us also. Now this is very confusing, because God already forgave you, but it's a continuous tense. He already forgave you at the cross. There is no sin you can commit on the face of the earth today that God has not already forgiven. But does that mean you should continue in sin? No. Does it mean you should live in hatred? No. Does it mean you should not walk in love? No. Actually, it's an invitation to walk in love. Be like him. Be like him, like he was. Dying on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And if it was you and I, we'd be like, God, we know they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. Those guys, they know what they're doing. They're trying to mess me up. They know what they're doing, but Jesus didn't say that. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Think about the person who last hurt you. Could you pray that? Could you say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing? Even though it hurts, even though it's unjust, even though it's not understandable, can you really say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing? Because if you give them the benefit of the doubt, they have no idea what they're doing, what would happen? You become more like Jesus. The journey on earth isn't for me to get richer, isn't for me to do more miracles. That's not my journey on earth. No. Even though those things are important, my journey on earth is that I become more like Jesus. Think like him, walk like him. I was life group on Thursday, and we were just talking, and in the middle of it, I just had this vision. This vision of the Lord's Supper. Because we see the Lord's Supper, and if I asked you to describe the Lord's Supper, every one of us will have a different view of what the Lord's Supper was and how it was. And people who've been to Israel might know that they sat on the floor, they didn't sit at a dining table. Have you ever seen Africans? We have this, you know, this big picture of the Lord's table with the 12 disciples, and very formal. But actually, when you go to Israel, it's nothing like that. But just go with me for a moment. Let me give you a picture. Let me paint a picture for you. One of the things that God has been blessing me with these days is looking at the Bible in three dimensions. Let me just help you for a second. Jesus is at dinner. He knows this is his last dinner with his disciples. There's tension in the air because he's talked about somebody betraying him. There's talk, you know, in the community that the Jews, the Pharisees are going to capture Jesus. Nobody knows whether it's tonight. Jesus knows he's about to die the most gruesome death that a man would ever die. And the weight of the world is beginning to lie upon his shoulders. And in the middle of all of that, think about it. If that was you, the weight of all the world is going to lie on your shoulders. My sins that I committed this morning or yesterday, sins of omission, sins of commission, were lying on Jesus' shoulders. And while he is eating, John leans into him. He leans into him and says, Father, Jesus, who is going to betray you? Think about it. Think about your dinner table today, where no phones at the table, no conversation at the table, eat your food. Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus was approachable. He could lean into Jesus, invade Jesus' private space. Ask him a question. And I say that story just to say to you, what Jesus do you see? What Jesus do you worship? What Jesus do you pray to? Is it the one that will allow you to lean into his bosom and ask him a difficult question? Or is it the one that chases you out of the temple? And our perception of who Jesus is impacts how we see prayer. Let's just really amplify that as we bring this to a close. And he says this, and when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. So do not be like them, praying as they do, For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way, in this manner. This is how you should pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, let me pause there for a second. How do we know what the will of God is? How do we know what the will of God is in heaven? Have you been there? Anybody been there? Just checking. Anybody been raised from the dead? Just checking. I was in a church in Malawi. And I said, has anybody been raised from the dead? And five people put their hands up. And the pastor I was with was one that raised him from the dead. So, I mean, it was true. He said, yeah, I did. I raised him from the dead. He was dying of cancer. He was dying of malaria. He was dead in the mortuary. And he raised five people from the dead. So, nobody raised from the dead. Gideon, you haven't raised anybody from the dead here? No. Okay. Not yet. Okay. But how do we know heaven? How do we understand this? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's because Colossians says, you and I, we might be sitting right here, right now, in this room, in South Street Baptist Church, but we are in heavenly places. Amen. We're living in an augmented reality. Those people think they created something. No, before they created it, God has already created it. We're living in a virtual reality that what we are doing right here is not our real life. Our real life is in heavenly places. We have access to the throne room of God. We can go to God right now and say, God, what are you and the Father talking about right now? That is your right and your privilege. You might not use it, but it's your right. It's your right. He can give you dreams, visions, prophetic words. All those things are just manifestations of the fact that we are in heavenly places, even though we are on earth. And so Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says, I do not do anything except I see the Father first do it. I pray that you and I will be the same, that we won't do anything except we see the Father first doing it. Next. Verse 11. Well, we've missed verse 11. No, we're in King James now. Let's go back to Amplified. Oh, there you go. Next slide. There you go. Give us this day, we've talked about it already, our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Letting go to both the wrong and the resentment. That's why I love the Amplified, because it kind of amplifies it out. It's not just letting go of somebody who has offended you, but letting go of the wrong done to you and the resentment that you might have for the person who wronged you. If somebody cuts you up in traffic, and then all of a sudden you're caught at that red light. And I wonder whether it's Shababashunda or is it... You see what I'm saying? That's just a simple example, but there could be other examples. Maybe somebody cut you up during work. They got promoted and you didn't. Maybe somebody cost you your job. And God says, let go of the wrong done to you and the resentment of the person who wronged you. Because when you let go, what happens? You're free. You're free. You're free. He goes on to say, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 This is the truth I want to leave you with. His is the kingdom. His is the power. His is the glory. And yes, we're going through a tough time in London right now. But it is still His kingdom. He is still on the throne. It might look disorganized and chaotic to you. But the truth is this. He is working it all out for our good. All right, so I got one more thing to do, and that just came to me now. So, ushers, can you help me give those who haven't received this book already so they can take it home and go do their homework? Amen. Amen. That when you receive the book, right, you're making a covenant with me that you're going to read it. right? Because if you really would do you good, not because I wrote you, but I just think there's some truth right now that God wants to inspire. So the books are here, and then just if you give them out, all right, for those who don't have it. Okay, and then pastor can check on you in a month's time and say, how many of you read the book? And what did you learn from the book? All right, so I'm going to give you the book now. Amen. Now, it's all right. It's a blessing. Now, let me finish with this. Again, I do apologize, my pastor. I'm supposed to be organized and have my verses already. But let me take you to Romans chapter 8. And I think I've got 3 minutes left or something like that. But let me finish with this. I want to demystify a mystery for you. Romans chapter 8. You know that passage that says all things work together for good? 8:28. Thank you. You know that passage, right? Can you get it up on the Amplified if you can for me? Let me ask you a question, church. Interactive now. What does that verse mean? All things work together for good for them that love God. What does that mean? Anybody, just give me an idea. God will do what's right for you. Good. Anybody else? Any thoughts? No matter what you're going through, God is in control and he's looking after you. Anybody else? One more. I need one more. Just give me a view, point of view. Nobody else? Okay. Have we got it? So, but go to verse 26. Don't go to 28. And which? Oh, you got it in NIV. Okay, we can do NIV. We'll do it quickly. Do verse 26. Bring to verse 26 up. So you know what? Let me tell you the truth here. I've done two confessions. This is my second confession. All my Christian life, not just my Christian life, as a preacher, all my preaching life, I always thought this verse was like magic dust. Like, you mess it all up, you just blow Romans 8:28. Right? All things are going to work together for good. Even though I just messed up, it's all going to work together for good. I don't know how it's going to work together for good, but it will because the Bible says so. Right? That's how I used to do it. Did anybody else do that? No, just me. All right. But I had a revelation the other day. God said, look, Shola, you've misunderstood this passage. And the church has misunderstood this passage. Because we start reading it from Romans 8:28, and it doesn't start in verse 28. It starts in verse 26. Bring it up, if you've got it there. It says this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings and words that cannot be expressed. Verse 27. And he who searches our hearts, the Holy Spirit, knows the mind of Christ. So the one who is searching my heart, he knows the mind of Christ. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Does it make sense in a minute? Therefore, verse 28. If you read the King James, it says, Therefore, we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. That verse is isolated. All things are working together for your good, not because you're a Christian. Actually, it's not working together for your good, not because you are called according to his purpose. No. We think that these things just happen like magic. All things are going to work together for good, even if it's a bad situation, God's going to make it good. No. Look at verse 27 again. He says this. Look at what he says. He says, and we know he who searches my heart. When I woke up this morning, God searched my heart. The Holy Spirit looked into my heart and he said to himself, Shola is going to Greenwich this morning. He's going to need to drive his car. He needs to be conscious. He needs to be strengthened. He needs to know which way to go. He needs to leave on time. Right? So the Holy Spirit searches all these things. He knows what I need. He knows what I'm doing. He knows I need God to speak to me. So the Holy Spirit has searched my heart, and He knows what I need. The same Spirit who searches my heart over here, He knows the mind of God. And He knows in the mind of God that you were going to be sitting here at 12:35, 5 minutes time, past the time I'm supposed to finish preaching. He knew that. And so He's already prepared your heart not to fall asleep, not to get tired, and to be able to listen. Now, here's what happens. My will is over here. God's will is over here. And the Holy Spirit stands in the middle and begins to pull those two things together. And because the Holy Spirit is interceding for me, because He knows my heart, He's looking at me, He knows what's in my heart, He knows where I'm going to fail, He knows that if I move too fast, I might trip over here. The Holy Spirit already knows that, so angels are pushing me back, right? So, it's because the Holy Spirit is praying for me, and is reading the mind of God, therefore, and only because of that, all things work together for my good. It's not an accident. It's taking the Holy Spirit intercessory time to make all things work together for your good. They're not working together for your good by accident. They're working together for your good intentionally. The Holy Spirit is making sure that all things are working together for your good. Do you see it now? So it's not working together for my good just because I said Jesus come into my life. No, no, no. It's working for my good because the Holy Spirit never ceases to make intercession on my behalf, on your behalf. And therefore, all things must work together for good. Because you love God and you accord according to His purpose. I pray this changes your view, your mindset of life and how you approach God in prayer. Breakthrough on every side. Amen. Yeah.